Well, a very good morning to you and a happy new year. Really pray and hope that 2018 is a momentous year of God being glorified in your lives and God being glorified in this church. What a beautiful time of worship this morning. Thank you to Anne and the team for leading the church in a very meaningful time of worship and singing some great truths out over our lives, over our church. And it's great sometimes when we take a song that's personal and then we turn it into something that's corporate for the whole church. And we saw that happening this morning, which was really, really great just to hear the church singing songs out corporately to the Lord. This morning I'm talking to you on the topic of faith. The topic of faith is an enormous topic. One often wonders, where do you begin with the topic of faith? And the title of my message this morning is, the key to victory is faith. I don't know where you are at. I don't know if you, at this time in your life this morning, feel that you may just need a little bit more victory. It can be victory over a number of things. Maybe you've had one too many mince pies over the Christmas season, and you just, Lord, give me victory over that sugar craving. Might be something a lot more serious than that. It can also be victory for everyday living. When we get up in the morning, we know that God is with us. That I'm not on God's side. God's not on my side, but we are in His camp together. It's not a side thing. It's a together thing. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning from the book of Joshua, the amazing account of the walls of Jericho coming tumbling down. The story may bring back Sunday school lessons to you. They may bring back songs from when you were in Sunday school. They definitely bring back some Sunday school lessons to me and some songs we sang as kids about the walls coming tumbling down. We're talking about faith. And living in victory. And faith being the key to victory in our lives and in our church in 2018. Because I do believe with all my heart that God is going to cause this church to be victorious in so many ways in the coming year. This past year to me has felt like a time of preparation. That God's been preparing us as a church throughout 2017. And there's something now unstoppable in what God is doing. Yeah, in this church, in our lives, in our neighborhood, in our neighborhoods, and ultimately in the nations of the world. So we're talking about faith for 2018. And I'm not just talking about faith in faith. This isn't going to be some airy-fairy kind of new agey kind of wishy-washy sermon that let's all have faith in God and go and talk about it on the Oprah Winfrey show and there we go. Okay, it's not faith in faith. It's not PMA, a positive mental attitude, although that does help. It helps being around positive people. But PMA alone, a positive mental attitude, will not get us to where we need to be. It's not faith in our own ideals. It's not faith in our own fantastic business projections we may have. It's not faith in our own self-righteousness. I need to say at the outset of this message, quite biblically and theologically, that it's faith in God Almighty, the one and only true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's faith in God. And we're going to further expand that this morning. It's faith in God against all odds. Because that's the miracle working God we serve. That against all odds, no matter what is positioned against you, no matter how we may feel about ourselves sometimes, it's God's will that will always prevail. Faith isn't some kind of magical force. There's no formula. You know, we can't say, well, you know, let's do a scientific experiment and let's do a little mixture in this glass. And if you always add those kind of ingredients, you'll get a great faith result. Faith isn't some kind of magical formula. Faith isn't some kind of magical force. Now, this isn't a fairy tale we're talking about this morning. This isn't faith, hope, and pixie dust. Excuse me for saying that. But we're looking at the realities of faith this morning from a biblical, theological point of view. You see, what faith does is faith links us with the unseen God. And when we have faith, it links us with God, the very God who formed the universe at His command. That's what faith does. Faith is a channel through which God's blessing can flow into our lives. Isn't that amazing? You want scripture and verse? Absolutely. Hebrews 11 verse 6. And now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. There's no ifs or buts or a little back entrance in. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You don't often see the word possible, we don't often see the word impossible and God in the same phrase, do we? But yeah, we do. That without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly, or some translations say diligently, seek Him. What is faith? The best definition of faith is found in the Bible. I'm not going to quote some theologian to you on some great definition of faith. Let's see what the Bible says faith is. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. God has spoken a word into your heart, a genuine biblical word into your heart. You can be certain of what you do not see. This is faith. Now, let's admit we are human beings, aren't we? Do you think, a bit of a question to you, do you think that we can live in 100% certainty all the time? Is that what faith is? Is it 100% all of the time, come what may, come hell or high water, come what may, we are 100% certain all the time? We know that the Bible says we can be sure. We know that the Bible says that we can be certain. We know that the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can it be that faith can be wavering between belief and unbelief? Now listen out. Listen to the whole thing before we make up our minds. Can it be that in our journey with the Lord, that we waver between belief and unbelief? We waver between doubt and assurance. We waver between hope and despair. And finally, hesitantly, humbly, not with our confidence in ourselves, but with our confidence in our Lord, with our heart in our hands, we act on the part of belief. That no matter how unsure we sometimes feel, no matter how uncertain, no matter how hopeless we may feel, we don't act on the part of our feelings, but we act on the part of belief. I believe that's true biblical faith. Sometimes we've got to step out of the boat, follow Jesus when He calls us, walk on the water, and faith kicks in when we take that first step. Sometimes we've got to do it afraid. Because that's what faith is. You know, We live in a world, and rightly so, that things need to kind of logically make sense. Maybe you've drawn up your budget for 2018. Things need to logically make sense in our lives. People like to say, well, I'm a practical person. And that's all fine, and that's all good. And I think the ancient Greeks in the days of Jesus, you know, have a lot to do for our kind of thinking, the way we think in the West today. And there's nothing wrong with that. But faith puts a different demand on the way we act. And sometimes our emotions need to catch up with the faith. Sometimes our thinking needs to catch up with our faith. So many people spend their days looking at the wall of impossibility. And let's face it, sometimes we are thrown with impossibilities. We may receive a report from the doctors, which is impossible. You may look at your budget for 2018, and it may seem impossible. You know, getting up after the Christmas break may feel impossible to you. There's a load of impossibilities in our lives. The bad news is this. Those impossibilities really are impossible. The good news is that God loves to start with impossibility. God's starting block in our lives, usually when we're living in faith and by faith, is impossibility. He doesn't wait for us to make all things possible. He's the one who makes all things possible. So do you find yourself in an impossible situation this morning? Well, welcome to Joshua chapters 5 and 6. Great chapters of human impossibility, of human logic failing, and God's most bizarre strategy coming through for His people. You know what, folks? When God wants to do something big, He starts with something very small. And when He wants to do something miraculous, He starts with something impossible. After all, we've just come through Christmas. When God sent His Son into the world, He didn't send Him into some big city, but He sent Him into a small place, a little village, a place off the beaten track called Bethlehem. God starts with small things, and He makes them big things. I think we would rather God start with something big, and we go from big to bigger. And then see who's going to be the biggest. But God knows all about human pride. So He wants to make sure that none of us get the credit for what He does in our lives and in His church. He wants to make sure that none of us get the glory. So He'll start with something very small. If we understand what He's up to. If we allow Him to. Because faith and humility always go hand in hand. Faith is boldness in Christ. It's not arrogance in self. Faith and humility go hand in hand. Few Bible stories do more to capture one's imagination than the story about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. It's the stuff of Hebrew liturgy that has brought encouragement to devout Jews throughout the centuries. It's a story of an ancient battle. And in another way, it's a model for victorious Christian living here and in the now. Any tactical plans that Joshua may have had in taking Jericho came to null and void. Joshua was a military leader. We have to imagine that some strategic conversations must have taken place with his top military advisors. The spies must have brought back some military intelligence combined with the available knowledge. They must have brought back some insights into what Jericho was like and how psychologically prepared the inhabitants of Jericho were for warfare. We don't know what Joshua's elaborate plans may have been, but there is one thing that we do know, that the commander of the Lord's army abruptly disrupted any plan Joshua could muster up. And that brings me to my first point this morning. Faith in God means trusting God's strategy. Faith in God means trusting God's strategy. You with me so far? Fantastic. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with the king and the fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark." Notice that the ark was there. That's the ark of the covenant that represented God's presence. I'm not preaching on this, I'm just mentioning this. God's presence was in the midst of their battle. God was with them. God was with them. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the trumpets. When he had the sound, then sound a long blast on the trumpets, make the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So Jericho was the first obstacle amongst many that Joshua and the army of Israel faced in conquering Canaan. Canaan, the promised land which God had promised to their forefather Abraham. And as Joshua was pondering, probably, on how to take on this walled city, the Lord appeared. Many theologians believe that the commander of the Lord's army was the Lord himself appearing to Joshua in a human form. Now, can you imagine? Imagine with me this morning the Israelites marching silently around the city once a day for 6 days, and then 7 times on the 7th, with the Ark of the Covenant, while the priests blew their horns. And on the 7th day, when Joshua gave the signal, the priests were to blow the horns and the people were to shout. And the walls of the city would crumble and the Israeli soldiers would march straight into the city and go and take the city. Folks, these are normal human beings. They were in unpleasant conditions, hot and sandy and dusty. And yet Joshua comes with a strategy he claims to have got from God himself, the commander of the heavenly hosts, and says, "Right, troops, we're going to do some silent marching. And then on the 7th day, the 7th time round, we're going to shout for all we have." I don't know about you, but after marching around a city in blazing heat, in the sun and the sand, without the sea, and then expecting to shout on top of my voice after doing it 7 times in 1 day, I wouldn't feel like shouting. I don't know about you. I wonder what his critics must have said. We're human beings. We like to criticize, don't we? I wonder what the grumblers and complainers, I wonder what the strategists in their midst must have thought. You see, faith means trusting God's strategy. We know from the New Testament that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Even the cross looks foolishness to those who are perishing. And the tricky thing with being a preacher is this, that very often a sermon means something to someone. And probably 99.9% of the time, people say to me, "That was just for me. thank you. But there's that 0.1% of the time that people sometimes feel that the preacher's picking on them. Sometimes I preach a word and somebody relays it back to me and I say, did I preach that? Because the Holy Spirit reveals things to you where you are at as the word goes out. So, if the shoe fits, please wear it. If the cap fits, wear it. Whatever, you know, expression you'd like to use. And, you know, hopefully, God's message means something to all of us. When I prepare a message, God always works in my life first. And He molds and, you know, on the potter's wheel, and He kind of gets bits into place with a divine heavenly massage. So God's spoken to me. I trust that He speaks to you and that you take it in the spirit of Christ as always. So if you have a wall in your life, I'm not picking on you. I think we all have walls in our lives. I want to ask you, have you ever heard of a crazier military strategy? I mean, it doesn't make sense. And with all respect, it's so crazy. It doesn't make human sense. That's probably why God came up with it. I believe that the theological message that comes out of this passage is this, that living by faith means trusting in God's strategy. And there's a broader, more intense meaning in trusting God's strategy. And the broader, more intense meaning, folks, is this. Living by faith means acting on the belief part. Remember we spoke about the unbelief part earlier on and the hopeless part and the part where we feel down and the part where we can't quite see it and the part where we can't quite make it and the part where we don't feel quite up to it. We all feel that way. And I'm sure those ancient Israelites must have felt that way. You know, day one, let's march around the wall. Okay, great, nothing has happened. Day two, guys, we're doing it again. I mean, put yourself in their position. I mean, we don't even like repeating songs, let alone repeating the same exercise 7 days in a row, and then on the seventh, we're going to do it 7 times. Surely there must be a better way. And when God works in our lives, He implants a divine strategy. He's not asking for it to make sense with a committee of your friends. He's asking for it to make sense of Him and for us to do the trusting. And faith demands movement. Could they have sat aside? Could God have said, Joshua, you guys have had a lot of faith. You've done the crossing. You're over now in the promised land. Guys are exhausted. Goodness me. Have a Sunday school picnic. I'll blow the walls down. You sit and relax. God could have done that. You see, in Egypt, they were under slave masters for hundreds of years. They moved into the wilderness. 40 years. Grumbling, moaning, complaining, unbelief kept them going around in circles and circles. And that does the same in our lives today. The promise is there. But as long as we, oh Lord, I can't see it your way. Oh Lord, please do it my way. Oh Lord, I'm the great I am. Oh Lord, there's the path, but we just carry on. Oh, I don't know about you, but I mean, life is short. We're 2018. I'm a lot younger than a lot of you. But life is short. God hasn't called us to walk in circles following the breath of our own complaining. He's called us to follow Him. And it takes divine strategy in our lives. That means we need a relationship with Him. He doesn't reveal divine strategy to people who don't have a relationship with Him. A divine strategy. Yes, God could have blown the wall down. But in the wilderness, it rained down manna, didn't it? The shoes never wore out. I mean, the fashions must have been dire. Imagine the same fashion for 40 years. Big saving, I must say. Can you imagine that? I mean, Topshop just wouldn't have survived. But when they entered the promised land, they had to do the trusting, the fighting on God's behalf. And very often it's like that. God brings a promise into our life. And when the promise comes in, all of a sudden the warfare comes in with it. The time of them being cocooned with the manna every day was over. They had to stand up and be strong and be counted. It was the new generation that passed over. And I believe for us today that new generation is not an ageist thing. It's a generation who says, God, I'm up to your plan. Across the ages. From an infant in the womb all the way through to somebody almost going to meet their Savior. God's generation. Let me get on with preaching. So there's a broader sense here that living by faith means acting on the part of belief. It means taking a step of faith. However small that step of faith may be, however big that step of faith may be, however halting. You may think, Lord, this is stopping my progress. However unsure of yourself you are, be sure of God's will in your life. So the Hebrews marched around the walls. But they did it. That's the main thing. They did it. That's acting on the part of belief. They took the step of faith. What in your life in 2018, besides everything else that's going on, besides how you emotionally feel about things, logically feel about things, what in your life do you need to act on the part of belief in? This is my third New Year's message to this church. And every year, I've given you something to fill in. There's no exception this year, and it's printed in your update. Does everyone have an update? It's a good time to see that the stewards have been doing their jobs. Very good. At the bottom of the right-hand side, on the inside, we're going to reflect at the end of the sermon. So in 2018, with the help of God, I will endeavor to live by faith. This means I will act on the part of belief in. I hope that makes more sense after this part of the sermon. In what area in your life will you act on the part of belief? Rather than doubt, rather than fear, even rather than logic sometimes, rather than ingenious human ingenuity and plans, I'm going to act on belief. You think about that while I carry on preaching. Jericho was not the first occasion in which God had come up with a strange strategy in which he expected his people to believe and act. God did it generations earlier. You'll remember when God observed the intense human rebellion against himself. He singled Noah out to build an ark. This was God's strategy, to bring judgment upon sin and yet preserve the ongoing human race. Don't have time to preach on that, but another example of God's strategy. Humanly didn't make sense, but it was God's strategy. God also used a different strategy later on in the story of Gideon. By Gideon's time, the Israelites had conquered the land, But they were still having some security issues. What I mean by security issues, that those in the northern part were being periodically invaded by the Midianites. So God appeared to a reluctant young man named Gideon, urging him to sound the call to arms. 32,000, 32, that's 32,000 volunteers responded. What a roaring success to his voluntary campaign to fight. What an impressive response on a human level. What did God do? God whittled it down to 300. Judges 7 verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that left, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. The lepers were the alert ones. You had the guzzlers and the lepers. I'll preach on that another time. The lepers were the alert ones. They left and they looked out. Let all the others go home. God's whole modus operandi is to minimize human pride, is to minimize self-righteousness. Gideon reduced his army down to 300. God could do more with 300 that were willing to go with his strategy than he could do with 32,000 using their own human strength. Isn't God amazing? Now, this is the facts. This is, the practical side. The Israeli army was less than 1% of its original size. And the proportion was this: 400 Midianite soldiers to each Israeli soldier. Does that sound like a battle plan to you? When we are in God's strategy, living in faith, God will do it. He's not dependent on our 32,000. He's dependent on 300, a handful in comparison, will do things God's way. Look, I've got a lot more to say, but I'm going to move on. I just need to say this. Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And my second point and my concluding point is, faith in God means persevering obedience. So first of all, faith in God is trusting in his strategy. Trust God this year in 2018. Put your faith out in him like never before and see God do amazing things. Secondly, faith in God means persevering obedience. Look at Joshua 6 verse 6 and 7. Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. There's a lesson here. I've already asked the question, why did God do it this way? And not just, you know, God could have wiped it out with a blink if he wanted to. He could have sent some wind. He could have done anything. But there's a lesson here. It's a lesson about the power of God. And it's a lesson on perseverance on our behalf. God's power and perseverance go hand in hand, just like God's strategy and our humility go hand in hand. Think about this for the moment. God could have said, like I said earlier, sit tight, don't do a thing. But he called them to step out in faith with persevering obedience. So what is faith? According to Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Is faith waiting for that 100% assurance? Lord, I need every box ticked. I need to be able to see it. I need to actually have the result now before I walk out in faith.
Lord, the walls need to fall down before I do the walking. I think that most of us, if we were really honest, would like that. And probably that's where our faith could be at. But faith, even in the big decisions of life, is believing God at His word, that our God is not a liar. Our God is who He says He is. His word is true. His promises, every single promise, is yes and amen in Christ. It's one of the reasons why at our Carols by Candlelight service, which was amazing, we did the reading of the Old Testament prophecy, and then immediately after that had another reader read the New Testament fulfillment. God fulfills His word. So maybe your mum can't see it, your dad can't see it, your brother can't see it, your sister can't see it. But you've seen what God sees about you. Believe it. Go for it. Step out in faith. Belief and unbelief. Doubt and assurance. Hope and despair. But we step out acting on the part of belief. Look at this. This is amazing in Joshua. In Joshua 6, we see faith at work in persevering obedience. Look at that. We see, is that 6 and 7? Yes. So Joshua, son of Nun, I've already just read that. That shows us there's diligent preparation. So, in our persevering obedience, we need to be diligently preparing. We need to be spending that time with the Lord. Secondly, we see careful discipline. Look at verse 10. But Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until I tell you. Then shout." I want to shout now. Day one, we've got full energy. Day one, first walk around the wall. Let's just try out our voices. Oh, come on. Going to do nothing. I'm sure God won't mind. Careful discipline. God's a disciplined God. In fact, the word disciple comes from the root word discipline. There's discipline in our walk with the Lord. It was patient repetition. 6:14 of Joshua. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. Oh, God is in the mundane. Faithfully. He's looking for faithfulness in us. Faithfully doing His will over and over, even and over again. Even when we don't see results, I'll follow the Lord. There was audacious exaltation. I like that one. Audacious exaltation. I like them all. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in and they took the city. Look at verse 21. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed the sword with the sword, everything in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. What was there? There was complete obedience. They said, "Oh, well, Lord, I'm sure you didn't mean that. Oh, Lord, the wall's now down. It's all lovey-dovey." There's complete obedience to the last T. But look at this. Where's the compassion of God, you ask? There was intentional. This is how God works. God is intentional in what He does. There was intentional compassion. Joshua 6:23-25, you know the story. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and her mother, her brothers and her sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought her out, her entire family, and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, with the family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, as she lives among the Israelites to this day. Hudson Taylor, and I'm coming to a conclusion now, Hudson Taylor, a man of dynamic faith whose missionary efforts helped open China to the gospel. Time and time again, Hudson Taylor saw God do amazing things in the face of hopeless circumstances. Reflecting on his experiences, he remarked, "There are three stages in most great tasks undertaken for God." Do you want to know what those three stages are? Impossible, difficult, done. Are you in a place of impossibility? It's exactly where God wants you to have faith, because He is the God of the impossible. Are you in a place of difficulty? God will get you through. Keep going. Keep having persevering obedience. And then done. Well, until we meet Jesus, I don't think anything on this earth is ever done. But there we go. In conclusion, Jericho is a picture, or can be a picture, of this evil world opposed to God. Either you are by faith in God's camp, with some Jerichos in your life that you need to conquer. I think that's fair. Most of us have Jerichos in our lives we need to conquer. But by faith, we know that we are in God's camp. Either you are there, or, and there's no middle ground when it comes to this and most things of God, or you are comfortably living in Jericho, thinking that you are safe. But we know that Jericho was headed for destruction, whether they knew it or not. Which describes you this morning? The key to victory in our lives is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross in your place will deliver us from coming to destruction. If you're in God's camp, faith in His mighty power will give you victory over the intimidating enemies that threaten to destroy you. What great opportunities disguised as insoluble problems do you face? God has whatever resources you need. All you need to do is trust in Him, His divine strategy, and have persevering obedience. Don't give up. Don't give up obeying. I began by saying, I'm going to end with it. Most of us spend most of our days looking at the wall of impossibility. And I repeat deliberately, the bad news is that it really is impossible. The good news is that God starts with impossibility. When God wants to do something big, He starts with something small. When He wants to do something miraculous, He starts with something impossible. Living by faith means acting on the belief part. It means taking a step of faith, however small, however big, however halting, however unsure of yourself you are sure in the Lord. One more thing to ponder. Could it be true to the Israelites back then, and could it be true of us today, that the real battle of Jericho was not with the Canaanites? But could it be that the real battle was in the hearts of the people of God? They needed to trust God's strategy, and they needed persevering obedience. Where do you need to trust God's strategy? Maybe the battle you're in is a battle for your heart. A battle never against people. Maybe it's a battle for your heart. Maybe it's a battle to trust God. Maybe it's a battle to get into a position of faith where you can live with persevering obedience in your life. I believe God's possibilities are limitless for us as a people as we venture forth into 2018, if we were to trust in His strategy and if we were to have persevering obedience. Let's have a look again at the reflections in the update. And we're going to have a time of prayer right now. And this would be a good time to fill this in. In 2018, with the help of God, I will endeavor to live by faith. This means I will act on the part of belief in. Now you fill in the blank. It's the beginning of 2018, a great time to make a renewed commitment to the Lord. If you say, Lord, I endeavor with your help, by your grace and mercy, to live by faith like never before in 2018. Help me trust your strategy and help me have persevering obedience. If that is you, this is a call to Christians to step it up into a whole new level, to trust in Him, His strategy, and to have persevering obedience. I'm already standing in response to my own message. I'd invite you right now to stand in response and saying, Lord, I'm trusting you in your strategy for my life. And I'm trusting you. I'm having faith. I'm going to have persevering obedience. No matter what the evil one may try and throw at me, the walls of Jericho will come down. I will inherit the promises you have for me. I trust your divine strategy. And I will have persevering obedience. That is you, and you'd like to join me in that prayer. Would you stand right now, please? Powerfully humbling thing to see most of the church dead. I believe this message is key for all of us. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. May our self decrease. May Jesus increase. Lord, as we stand as a body of Christ, the body of Christ, on the first Sunday of 2018, we don't know what this year holds, but we know that you hold 2018. Our confidence, Lord, is not in man or politicians or in finance or wealth or lack thereof. our confidence is not in the human condition, but our confidence is in you, our Lord and our God. Lord, there may be Jerichos to conquer this year. There may be obstacles, there may be difficulties, there may be pain, there may be struggle. But we trust in you, Lord God Almighty, for the victory. Help us, Lord, to have faith in you. Help us to have faith in your strategy. And whatever that means to each individual here, help us have faith in your strategy. And help us, Lord, to have persevering obedience. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us to be people of your word who honor you even at our own personal inconvenience. Help us march in time with your beat and with your marching orders. And even when we feel weary and when we feel tired, when you command us to give a shout of victory, may your Holy Spirit well up on the inside of us and strengthen and inspire. So Lord, every individual here this morning, I commit to you for 2018 and beyond. This church, Lord, we commit to you. May we live by faith and not by sight. May we follow your strategy. And may we have, by your grace and power, persevering obedience. We pray now your blessing on us, Lord. Your blessing which makes rich, the word says, and adds no sorrow. Your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness. Help us to be faithful and true to you in 2018. And may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stay standing. If Anna and the team could come up and lead us in our closing song. If anyone feels they need prayer after the service, please do come and sit in the front pew over here, your right-hand side. Remember, the prayer team will be with you to pray.